J.C. Corcoran Podcast. Old St. Nick's got bourbon breath. It's so cold you could catch your death. A cop sold me some crystal meth. It's a merry f***ing Christmas. Everything's so Christmassy. The streets are twinkling with frozen pee. My priest just sat on Santa's knee. It's a merry f***ing Christmas. All the kids go to bed each night to dream what Santa brings them. Unless they're Jewish or Muslim or some other gyp religion. Crappy toys flying off the shelves. Midgets dressed up to look like elves. Spread good cheer or burn in hell. It's a merry f***ing Christmas. Kids go to bed each night to dream what Santa brings them. Unless they're Jewish or Muslim or some other gyp religion. Crackling fires to keep me warm.
And my collection of Asian porn.
Cradle my bells and work my horn. It's a keep on trucking. Last year sucking, midget chucking, slap the puckin'. How much wood could a woodchuck check in? Merry f***ing Christmas!
Shut up.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
It is Monday, December 13th, 2021. Christmas Day is less than 2 weeks away, and we have 330 days remaining in our American democratic system, as we have noted. How are you doing, kids? We are in the top 10% of all podcasts in the country. I know I was as surprised as anybody to find that out, and we'll talk more about that later, but yeah. The J.C. Corcoran Podcast in the top 10% of all podcasts in the country. Well, Edwardsville, Illinois, in the national news for all the wrong reasons. Does everybody understand now why you're supposed to get out of your car and go lay in a ditch if you're ever confronted by a tornado while you're out on the road in your car? Those cars just getting thrown around. And by the way, there was a famous video in the mid-1980s, and there were some people who are out on the road, and this is one of the first things we saw that went viral. Now, how it went viral before we had the internet, I couldn't answer that. I only know that the video was shown, felt like hundreds of times. And maybe you remember this too. It's, like I said, maybe like 87, 86, somewhere in there, and somebody had a camcorder going. This was before we had cell phones and video capabilities, but for whatever reason, this person had a camcorder and video. Oh, I remember what it was. It wasn't a camcorder. There was a television news crew out. That's what it was. There was a television news crew out, and they were trying to get video footage of the tornado. And the tornado made a wrong turn, and all of a sudden, the tornado is headed right for the news crew. And there was a viaduct. It was, you know, on one of these long stretches of interstate highway, but there was a viaduct. And so the people didn't know what to do. I still remember there was a young girl who appeared to be 10 or 12 years old. And anyhow, they all ran up the embankment and wedged themselves under this, bridge abutment. And the tornado went right over the top of them. And the news crew got the video of the thing approaching and then of the thing going down the highway in the other direction after it crossed over them. And people got the idea that that's what you're supposed to do if you're out in your car in a tornado. You go wedge yourself under a bridge abutment. And it turns out that that's an extremely dangerous thing to do because all of that wind, and especially all of that debris gets picked up and gets swirled around at like 200 miles an hour. And that's what a lot of people don't understand about tornadoes. It's not the wind that kills you. It is the fact that almost anything that gets picked up and hurled in your direction at, well, in the case of Friday night, 155 mile an hour winds, you pick up almost anything. I'm looking around my studio here, and I have a plastic cup, okay, but a hard plastic cup, like one of those thermal things, okay, you put in the dishwasher. So something as innocuous as that gets picked up in a tornado and gets thrown in your direction at 155 miles an hour and hits you in the temple, guess what? You're done. Now just imagine a 2x4 or a branch or a mailbox or almost anything that gets picked up in a tornado, and now that thing is coming at you at 155 miles an hour. That's not good. The thing hit about 8:30 on Friday night, and on Saturday morning they had a news conference. And you can just tell from the glazed over, stunned expression on the part of the city officials and administrators and first responders who are trying to, you know, hold a press conference. They're doing what, you know, we require them to do because the media is just jumping up and down, you know, wanting to know what happened. And, you know, they're trying to do their job too, and that's fine. But you got to remember, at this point, Saturday morning, the sun has just come up and they're just able at that point to begin assessing damage and also trying to find all these people who are missing. And at the same time, they know they had at that point at least two fatalities, turned out being six, just out there in Edwardsville. But these poor people are standing at the podium just trying to tell the media what they know so far about the whole thing. And, you know, this is their community. You know, you got city officials out there, and for all they know, somebody, maybe their next door neighbor, worked at that Amazon fulfillment center, and they're wondering if they still have a next door neighbor. And after fielding a couple of questions, this Channel 5 reporter starts yelling, "Are there going to be consequences for Amazon if it turns out they didn't follow safety protocol and get these people safe when they found out the tornado was coming?" And this poor guy conducting the news conference did exactly what I would have done, and that is he just turned and said, "Thank you, everybody," and walked away from the microphone. Now, let me just tell you something. That's actually a pretty good question. You know, was safety protocol followed, or did the foreman running the second shift at the Amazon Fulfillment Center in Edwardsville ignore safety protocol? Did he know the tornado was coming, that the tornado warnings were going on, the sirens were going on, and did he ignore it just to keep the production line moving that night? Great question, but not Saturday morning. There's a thing called timing. And all these, you know, poor people who are, you know, just trying to manage this situation and find out as the sun starts coming up what they got, how bad is it? And this clown-ass cubby reporter from Channel 5, who has no sense of her own presence, and asks a question like that while these people are still hurting and still trying to find bodies. This is the difference between somebody who has some experience, somebody who knows what they're doing, and somebody who's just too young and too inexperienced to be put in a situation like that. But that's what we get in St. Louis media now. We get people with no experience. We've talked about this before. It used to be that in St. Louis television, you'd get somebody who was young, maybe in their mid-20s, and this was maybe their third job or something like that. Now they're yanking these people right out of J school in Columbia and throwing them on the air in market number 23, St. Louis, and they're not ready to do a professional job. But that guy in Edwardsville, he did exactly what I would have done, and just walk right off the stage. You're thinking to yourself, I got larger fish to fry right now. Got slightly more important priorities than dealing with your clown ass. And also talk about being tone deaf. So Jeff Bezos has one of his fulfillment centers in Edwardsville ripped apart in the tornado. And on Saturday, what is he doing? He's out celebrating another rocket sending Michael Strahan into outer space for 15 minutes and then coming down and they're, you know, popping champagne corks and everything like that out in the middle of the desert while all this stuff is going on in Edwardsville. See, I'm not saying don't celebrate your rocket launch. That's fine. But, you know, hop on a plane and fly into St. Louis and start handing out $100 bills or something, you know? Or set up a giant tent and just put some water in there. Or set up another tent and do, blood donations, which they still need, apparently. But I'm not saying he's not smart, because he built this business worth hundreds of billions of dollars. But you can do that and also be stupid, and apparently he is. And again, it's just one of these things where, Jeff, you got 6 people dead in Illinois at our Amazon plant. Yeah, but look at my rocket ship. Then you got Rand Paul. Rand Paul, who it's either 2 or 3 times in recent years was one of a handful, and I mean a small handful, of senators who, for whatever reason, voted no when Congress put together these hurricane relief packages, like Hurricane Sandy, and then there were 2 others, and he voted no on the relief packages. Well, now, first thing Saturday morning, because the tornado rips open his state of Kentucky, he writes an impassioned letter to the president, basically demanding all this, tornado relief money, which Biden was going to do anyhow. But it's like a lot of things these days, you know, whose ox is getting gored? I need it for me, but you don't need it for you. You're only you. I'm me. Or is Chris Renee? They got drone footage going in here. All
who live in town and in the in this area that, you know, they don't have a home to have a Christmas tree, much less.
Yeah, not only that, not only the storm going through and kill a bunch of people and cause all this destruction, but then the temperature dropped about 45 degrees. And these people are now, they're freezing on top of it. They got no place to go.
Oh, wow. The EF3 tornado with peak winds of 150 miles per hour just tore through this area Friday night about 8:30. Authorities say 45 Amazon workers were able to get out of the warehouse safely with one airlifted to a local hospital for treatment. Officials telling us the operation here has now shifted from a rescue mission to a recovery and cleanup. As the families of those who lost loved ones continue to grieve, Amazon officials are doing what they can to help. They have reached out to the families of those who were killed along with the survivors.
Don't tell me, let me guess, thoughts and prayers. And I'm serious. If by noon today, Amazon and Jeff Bezos haven't stepped forward with some sort of organized relief effort, then it'll be official. He's dumber than we think. For a long time, I fought the idea that Tom Brady is the best quarterback that has ever played the game because there's so much cheating that was going on in New England. You know, camera crews, you know, video crews videotaping the Saturday workout of their opponent and then looking at it and going, oh, look at this. They're practicing this play. And then the opposition pulls out some sort of bizarre play and somehow the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick and these guys just magically display some sort of superhuman intuition and just sniffed it out and they know what play is coming. Maybe because somebody said, hey, Bill, we saw him practicing this quarterback draw play. And so if they set up this formation, just be ready for it. And then, of course, you had the balls, you know, being deflated and you had other stuff going on. And people would say, do you think Tom Brady is the best that ever played the game? I go, I don't think we'll ever know. I mean, I know he's really, really good. And I know Belichick is, a brilliant coach and everything. But I don't think we're ever going to know because they cheat so fucking much. Well, guess what? Tom Brady is the greatest that ever played the game. What he is doing down here in Tampa is unbelievable. It's just incredible. And, you know, he floats these passes in and they just come down like a feather onto these guys' fingers. And then, you have these tall guys. Tom Brady is 6'4". And then you got, let me just see here. I wrote this down. Gronkowski is 6'6". And the other guy, Evans, who had, what did he have, 2 touchdowns yesterday? He's 6'5". And it's sort of like when you were little, but you had an older brother and sister, and they would play keep away because they were about 2 feet taller than you. And that's almost what it's like now when the Bucks are playing. They're playing over the heads of their competitors. You know, 6'4", 6'5", 6'6". You get a little 165-pound defensive back running out there who's about 5'9". And you got a guy who's almost a foot taller, and then he reaches up in the air where Tom Brady throws these passes. Like you said, they just float in like feathers. It looks like teams are playing against their dads. Oh, and by the way, the rest of the Bucs schedule for the remainder of the regular season, not challenging. I think there's a real good chance you're going to see him in the Super Bowl again this year. What a story. What a story. The other one is Chris Wallace, the last vestige of journalistic integrity at Fox News, and he's bailing out to go to work for CNN's streaming outfit, which is interesting because I didn't even know CNN had a streaming outfit, but I guess they're trying to build it up and everything like that. And it still comes back to this idea, what's going to happen with Brian Williams? I just think there's something there. Katie Couric's going to be on national TV tonight, like I said last week. I think you're going to hear her name too. They were making fun of the Cuomos on Saturday Night Live over the weekend. Saturday Night Live this past weekend displayed some of the most bizarre and at the same time entertaining writing I've seen in a long time. Somebody got some good shit up at 30 Rock last week, because the writing to me wasn't exactly Buddy and Sally, the old Dick Van Dyke show. This was some weird stuff, but like weird funny. Oh, and back to football again here. Aaron Rodgers, the Allstate TV commercials were back this weekend. So Allstate apparently confident that whatever controversy was generated by Aaron Rodgers about this whole COVID thing has blown over. I know where you were 21 years ago today. You were digging your ass out of snow. 2000, the year 2000, 7.1 inches of snow fell in St. Louis, and I remember it vividly because I was picking up a tux, because in the year 2000, remember when Conan used to do that? But anyhow, I was picking up a tux. I was dating a lawyer at the time, and she had done some work for this corporation that was making toys. What was that? It was the Transformers or something like that? I don't know. And so they had their big corporate Christmas party at the Ritz-Carlton, and I was asked to accompany said lawyer. So get the tux on, show up at this thing. It's like, must have been 800 or 900 people at this thing, at the Ritz. Great dinner, great music, great dancing, and the musical entertainment. And again, this is a private black tie party, Christmas party at the Ritz. Earth, Wind, and Fire. I'm dancing 2 feet from the stage in front of Earth, Wind, and Fire at a private party. This, while 7.1 inches of snow had fallen in St. Louis during the day. You know, they send the reporters out every year for the first snowfall. It's going to happen in St. Louis because it happens every year. So whenever that first snowfall actually is, the assignment reporters, you know, from the assignment desk at the TV stations, always send the reporters out to the hardware stores to chronicle, if you will, the run on snow shovels. And I always want to ask these people who are running out of the hardware store with the snow shovels, what the fuck did you do with the one you had last year? I knew my dad for 80 years, all right? One fucking snow shovel the whole time I knew him. Were people throwing out their Christmas tree and their snow shovel on January 1st? There are some things, apparently, I'm not supposed to understand. Did you know Coca-Cola is real magic? That's their new slogan, and I think they might be slightly overstating their case a little bit. And they keep saying it. It's like a 30-second commercial. They say it like 3 times. Coca-Cola is magic. I'm like, no, it's not. It's something I drink when I'm thirsty. No, we told you. Coca-Cola is magic. Okay. All right, celebrity birthdays today. Taylor Swift, 32. Amy Lee, this is a talented woman. Listen to the song My Immortal by Evanescence. It'll change your life. Amy Lee, 40 today. Jamie Foxx, 54. Steve Buscemi, and apparently we were saying it wrong all those years. People were saying Buscemi, and it was never Buscemi, it's Buscemi, the correct pronunciation, 64. Wendy Malick from Hot in Cleveland, Just Shoot Me, 71. Ted Nugent, over 73. Jeff Skunk Baxter, guitarist for the Doobie Brothers, and also one of our leading experts on military defense. He learned everything he knows about terrorism, missile defense, and chemical and biological warfare just from reading war history books and technical weapons texts and defense manuals. You got to do something while you're on the road. Some people do drugs. Some people just watch TV. Some people look out the window. And Jeff Skunk Baxter from the Doobie Brothers said, and also he played with Steely Dan, I'm going to read up on this stuff. And honest to God, he's a consultant to the Pentagon. Dick Van Dyke, 96. That's very cool. He's in Betty White territory. 96 years old. Just think about that. 5 years ago today, 2016, Alan Thicke died of a heart attack at the age of 69, known for being the dad on Growing Pains and the father of a detestable human being, Robin Thicke. 25 years ago today, 1996, Magic Caught in a Bottle. You Had Me at Hello. The movie Jerry Maguire was released. It's when Cuba Gooding Jr. at the Oscars gave that bizarre speech that the band was playing and they're trying to play him off because he was going too long and he just kept going and going and going and going. That was all 25 years ago. And again, that's Cameron Crowe. But think about it. You know, Tom Cruise gave a, you know, he's such a bizarre human being. You know, and the whole Scientology thing is just scary. But he's also capable of being a very, very good actor. And so you can't take that away from him. And he was great. And he was handsome and charming. And the whole thing, it was a great story. You had those memorable scenes with Cuba Gooding Jr. You had the little boy, Jonathan Lipnicki. You had the smart-ass, wise-cracking older sister played by Chicago's own Bonnie Hunt. And then Renee Zellweger just looked so terrific and really gave a great performance. And just like I said, a great story. Everything came together, plus you have the direction by Cameron Crowe and Jerry Maguire 25 years ago today, Show Me the Money. And it was 36 years ago today, 1985, Phil Collins made his acting debut, playing a game show host at an episode of Miami Vice. There was no jacket required.
Most people know that the album No Jacket Required, the inspiration for that title came from the Ambassador East in Chicago. We know the whole story. Did you ever go back there, or did you ever find out whether that guy who was responsible for that inspiration realized what was going on around him?
I've got an interesting story, actually. Every show that I went on around that time, Letterman included, and the Carson show, they'd all ask, and I'd tell them, I can't mention the name of the hotel, but it was the Ambassador East in Chicago. I got a letter from the Ambassador East saying, please stop mentioning our name on the television. And here is a jacket. They presented me with a jacket that I could actually wear. And it was a real gaudy one, you know, white with splashes of paint. But they took the funny side of it. And they gave me this jacket that I was quite willing, I was quite happy to wear if I ever go back to the pump room, you see. which is quite funny. And also, I just got a letter from them recently asking me to donate something for an auction. And I actually gave them the jacket that I was wearing the night that they wouldn't let me in. And I wrote the story on this black leather jacket in sort of silver pen so people can read it. And whoever bids for it, it's got a little piece of my history there. But it's extraordinary. I'm staying in a hotel in New York as well at the moment that wouldn't let people in without jackets. And people say, why are you staying there? But I don't eat in the restaurant, so there's no problem.
The great Phil Collins right there from a conversation we had in 1988. He was promoting his movie Buster. Speaking of music, Mike Nesmith of the Monkees died Friday. He was 78. Mickey Dolenz and Mike Nesmith were just in St. Louis at the Family Arena a couple of weeks ago. Anne Rice died over the weekend. Complications due to a stroke. She was 80. I'm already OD'd off the Sex and the City story. Chris, now, if you don't know this, and there's no spoiler here, because if you're a big Sex and the City fan, you've already watched this. You already know what happened. So this isn't going to spoil anything. But those of you who do not know, in this reboot of Sex and the City last week, Peloton was featured because Chris Noth, Mr. Big or Big or whatever they call him on that show, is shown riding this, Peloton thing. And then he goes in the bathroom, has a heart attack and dies. Well, the Peloton stock the next day drops 11%. And so they're doing damage control on that. A lot of people are wondering how that happened, though. Dax Shepard, one of the funnier people on earth right now. I've seen him in a couple of things. This guy is funny. And of course, married to Kristen Bell,
had the hiccups for 50 hours. 5-0 was not a fun experience. You know, I had the hiccups about 6 months ago for the better part of a day, and it was not pleasant. All right, Monday Night Football, you got Arizona hosting the Rams. Pretty good game. Back-to-back episodes of American Auto on NBC. It's a new sitcom from the creator of Superstore on a gas tire from Saturday Night Live as the new CEO of a Detroit auto company, even though she knows nothing about cars. Late Night Tonight, Jimmy Fallon, Dakota Johnson and Kelly Clarkson, Tom Holland and Benedict Cumberbatch on with Kimmel. Colbert's got Keanu Reeves, Katie Couric on with James Corden, and Miss Evita herself, Patti LuPone, on with Seth Meyers. Anthony Bourdain had a secret Reddit account where he talked about his love of mixed martial arts and his hatred of Steven Seagal. And Spielberg's West Side Story, which cost a lot of money to make, won the box office. That's the good news over the weekend, but only with $10 million, and that ain't nothing. HBO working on a follow-up series, The 6 Feet Under. Doja Cat, pop star with one of my favorite songs of the year called Kiss Me More, tested positive for COVID for a second time. This outfit, Rover.com, all things woof woof, just released the results of its data on the most popular dog and cat names for 21. And here they are. For female dogs, the top names, Bella, Luna, we have one of those, Lucy, Daisy, and Lola. For male dogs, Max, Charlie, Milo, Buddy, and Rocky. For female cats, Luna, Bella, Lily, Lucy, Nala. For male cats, Oliver, oh, Kathy, Kelly, how are you doing? Leo, Milo, Charlie, and Max. Some people did get creative, though, and for inspiration, they looked to the pandemic. Dog's name Fauci went up 270%. The name COVID was up 35%. People are also naming their pets Pfizer and Zoom. Last Monday, three thieves broke into a business in Altamont Springs, Florida, just outside of Orlando, and stole about $13,000 worth of wigs. It was a shop called Sassy Sisters Boutique. And the owners say the thieves smashed the front door, ransacked the place, and got away with about 34 wigs. They also stole the cash register, but apparently they couldn't access anything inside because it was later found nearby and no cash was taken. The thieves were caught on camera, and they appeared to be masked men. It's unclear if they were actually after the wigs or if they had another motive. They're still on the run, and police don't have any suspects yet. But think about it. They got all those wigs, so they have like a built-in disguise. A recent poll asked, what's the longest period of time you think you could go without power in your home? The most popular answer was 1 to 5 hours. 17% can handle that. 10% say they last about 6 to 10 hours. Next year, the country of Wales will ban spanking kids, becoming the 67th country to outlaw corporal punishment altogether. It's legal to some extent in all 50 states, although 31% of them prohibit spanking in schools. And it turns out sled dogs wear mascara to help cut down the glare of the sun. And if you thought maybe it's Maybelline, you'd be right. According to one musher, it's a terrible thing to call somebody, they'll often use a simple waterproof mascara like Maybelline or lighter colored dogs, applying the makeup to the fur around their eyes, not the actual lashes. You think your job was bizarre? Don't look now, but there's a cream cheese shortage in some areas. But it wasn't caused by supply chain issues. It was a cyber attack. A major manufacturer was hacked in October, and it caused cream cheese production to fall by 6.9%. And as we mentioned, Michael Strahan flew into outer space on the Blue Origin outfit. On Saturday, the spacecraft reached an altitude of about 350,000 feet, roughly the distance between Strahan's front teeth. Good morning, everybody. And that's it, the J.C. Quarkman Podcast for Monday, December 13th, 2021 is in the can. 330 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. We publish every weekday morning right about 7 o'clock, absolutely free. We archive everything. You may email me at jc@jconline.com, Facebook, the Showgram with J.C. Quarkman. We talk about everything there is, politics only when absolutely unavoidable. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning. Please continue to spread the word. We're in the top 10% of all podcasts in the country. Let's go for the top 5. What do you say? And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later.
Bye. The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.